Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. Today, I'm extremely excited to introduce to you, from Tampa, Florida, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Here's Dr. Rodney Howard Brown.
To the book of Acts. Where else did you think I was going to go tonight? The book of Acts, chapter 9. You know, one of the things that when the revival first broke out for us back in April of 89, it was all because of a desire to see people touched the way that I was touched. And I refer to when the fire of God fell on me in 1979. I'm sorry to tell you that it took me 10 years to get to the place where I would just let God do what he wanted to do in the services. Because you're taught to structure the meeting. You're taught that this is what's going to happen. You're going to have these songs. Then the announcements are going to be made, and which is nothing wrong with that. And then this one's going to sing. And sometimes you wish they didn't sing. And what God was trying to teach me over those first, from 1980 in the ministry until 1989, was to let the Spirit of God take full control of the meeting. Which that means you have to walk on water. That means no matter what you prepared and where you are in the service, what you think you're going to do, God will flip that thing around, because you'll get right in there and the wave will come and the wind of the Spirit will blow and God will say, go this way. I remember one service in our church, it was a Mother's Day, and I was going to hold the message on mothers, and the Lord said, preach on fathers. And I had the biggest battle, but that day I spoke to the fathers, and they all turned to their wives and repented. It was the best Mother's Day they could have ever had. But you've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. How many have ever flown a kite? Three of you, that's phenomenal. Come on, how many have ever flown a kite? And you take your finger like this, you put like that, and you hold it up to see which way the wind's going so you can launch it in the right way. It's the same in a service. To come into the place, to get the pulse of what the Spirit of God wants to do, because every service is different. You should never be able to predict what is going to happen. You should know along the lines of what's going to happen, but you should never be able to predict what's going to happen because of the wind of the Spirit and the way the Holy Ghost is moving from the worship, where the worshipers are being led by the Spirit of God, even concerning the song and the notes and what they're going to play. Because otherwise you'll have a meeting, but there'll be nothing of God in it. Or if there was, it was very little. And God will get in whatever crack we can give him. He'll get in and do it, because people are coming hungry. We were in France, and we had some pastors' meetings in France last year. And I walked down the Champs-Élysées, and then we went right into Notre Dame Cathedral. And I stood, and there was a group of obviously charismatic Catholics standing in a corner with their hands raised, singing other tongues, and the presence of God just, and the Lord said to me, wherever my people come that are hungry and thirsty, I'm going to meet them. I'll meet them right in whatever area they give me. And so as leaders, as pastors and ministers of the gospel, it is up to us to catch the way of the wind, to learn the way of the wind of the Spirit of God, the way that he's going to blow, what he wants to do, so that every need in the place will be met. That if you come to the place, if you're not sick in your body, you're still going to have a need met. Because sometimes you can have a healing service and everybody thinks, well, I must be chopped liver. They didn't pray for me for nothing. But when the Holy Ghost begins to move, people will be healed, people will be delivered, people will be set free, people will be encouraged, people receive direction from the Spirit of God concerning what God would have them do. And we've had some of the craziest things happen in the meetings. This is the wildest thing I ever heard. But the young man was in the service, and he'd been single for about 10 years, and he was praying for a wife. And he was like really frustrated. He said, God, I've asked you for a wife. Where is my wife? And a woman fell out on the pallet in his arms. And he had her like this, and the Lord said, that's her. And 6 months later, they were married. It was, you know, it was a God set up. They came and told me, said, we got back from honeymoon. God put us together in your meeting. I thought, he did? How? I was praying. I had my eyes closed. I was sitting there, and she fell in my lap. So you never know what's going to happen when the Spirit of God begins to move. You never know what is going to take place. But people are going to be saved. They're going to be healed. They're going to be delivered. They're going to be set free. They're going to have an encounter with God. They're going to be touched, transformed, renewed, revived, invigorated. They are not leaving the place the same way they walked in the door. They might have come one way, but they're going to leave another way, because something about the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of God comes and He touches you, you will never be the same again. Ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people have been in the way for 40 years. Yeah, you blocked the way for everybody. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. It's the life of God. It's the Holy Ghost. And He's still in the earth today. He never left. He's still in the earth. The same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. The same Holy Ghost right here tonight in Cowtown. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you found Acts chapter 9? If you haven't by now, just look on by somebody close to you. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly, 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 there came a Kobare Bosande, Calabro Bondori Bisaya, a light from heaven shone, and he fell to the earth. We know when we read in the book of Acts, we know that that was Jesus that appeared unto him in the way. Hallelujah. He had a head-on collision with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the head of the church, Saul of Tarsus, against the church, breathing out threatenings. But a light shines from heaven, and he falls to the earth. And the Bible says, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He asked the question and answered in the same sentence. In other words, he got saved on the way down. That might blow some of your theology. We were preaching in London, England, at the Wembley Conference Center, and we were doing three meetings a day. And the power of God fell, and a little woman that lived in a town about 2 hours south by the train, she staggered to the train station afterwards, took the ride home, got off at the stop, walked 2 blocks to the house. Her husband was a drunken sailor who persecuted her. He used to cuss her out at every opportunity, and she walked in the door. When she walked in the door, he heard her, and he came out of the kitchen, and he took one look at her, and he fell out in the power of speaking other tongues. Now, don't try to work out how that happened so quickly, but he took one look at his wife, who was under the anointing, and she hit the floor. I mean, he hit the floor and was saved, speaking other tongues. He must have. You can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost without getting saved first. So he took one look at her. Boom! So just begin to speak with other tongues. A total transformation. Why? He saw Jesus in her. You see, some people are going to have a road to Damascus experience when they meet you. I tried this side over here. Not too much enthusiasm over there. Why? Because Jesus comes to live big on the inside of you. What do you think happened with Smith Wigglesworth, who was a plumber? He was illiterate. He couldn't read anything, learn to read the Bible. And he had a head-on collision with the Holy Ghost. And then God used him for 30 years on every continent of the world. Why? Because he realized who was living on the inside of him, and the life and the very nature of God would flow out of him everywhere he went. There were times that he went into the city, and the cities gave him a stadium to meet him because of the traffic, and the people were tumultuous. It was huge crowds, and they didn't know what to do. They would block the railroad stations when they heard Wigglesworth was coming to town. In a day with no radio, no television, no nothing, just word of mouth. Today we've got everything except, because many want to commercialize the anointing for fame, for ill-gotten gain, and you can't. It's not for your glory, it's for his glory. Can you say amen? So the Lord said, "Who art?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Back in 1984, I believe, we were live on television across the United Kingdom. About 4 years ago, I went there, and I went to a town called Swindon. We were doing just two meetings on the Monday night, one meeting on the Tuesday night, one meeting on the Wednesday night, one meeting on Thursday night, and two meetings finishing up in London on the Friday night. It was a five-city tour. When I got to Swindon, we started the service at 7, and you only got one night, so midnight, we were wrapping things up. And I was standing up on the stairways, and a little lady appeared in front of me, gray hair, and her husband very well dressed, and she said, "Brother Rodney, I just have to come meet you. We're not from this church. We're from another town." She said, "But I was watching you on television about 4 years ago, and she said that you were preaching. And she said, you said to the people, you need to receive Jesus now. And she said, when you said that, Jesus came through my television set and stood in front of me." Now she said, "What you don't understand is I was a Hindu. Plus, I was in a wheelchair." Now here she is standing totally normal in front of me. I said, "Jesus come through the television, stood in front of you." She said, "Yeah, I could hear you talk in the background, but he was standing right in front of me." I said, "What did Jesus do?" She said, "He put out his hand and said to me, take my hand." I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I looked at him and said, no." I said, "Then what did he do?" She said, "He put out his hand one more time and said, take my hand." I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I said, no." I said, "Then what did he do?" She said, "He put out his hand one more time." And this is what blew me away. And however you want to work this out theologically, take a shot at it. He put out his hand. I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I took it." And she said, "When I took his hand, it was like this. He turned around and came inside me." And she said, "God healed me." And the husband said, "I've been able to go back to work because I had to take an early retirement to look after my invalid wife." She said, "We are in a church. We are committed. We're on fire. And we're winning souls." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. The same Holy Ghost, you see. It's the same Holy Ghost. For you to live without the Spirit of God, you're living a low life. Are you listening to me? God wants you to live the high life, to live in the Holy Ghost, to live in the realm of the Spirit of God. It is the realm where anything can happen and probably will. Hallelujah. I might run around this building 3 times tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Woo. So here he is now, verse 6, he's trembling and astonished. He's astonished. When Jesus touches you, it'll overwhelm you. You'll be astonished. You're probably going to tremble. You know, I hear people, they tell me that Jesus came to them and they talk so flippantly about it, like they were meeting somebody down at the Cracker Barrel. And I look at them and I know he never came to them. I got preachers telling me an angel came to me last night. I look at them and say, he didn't. Because you would never be the same. You wouldn't even talk like you do. Are you listening to me? In actual fact, if it happened, you would struggle to even tell. So overwhelmed you would be, the touch of God and the hand of God in your life, that it might even take a few years to even put into words all of what God was doing. He was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's amazing. When Jesus touches you, you just, okay, what do you want? I'll do it. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. You come under his control. There's many people that want more of the anointing, but you don't need more of the anointing. You just need to yield more to the Spirit of God and come under the control of the Spirit of God and learn how to come under the control of the Holy Ghost in your everyday life, from your rising up to your lying down, your coming in, your going out, your marriage, your home, your finances, your children, your job, everything that you do. He says, arise and go into the city, and then it's going to be told you what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. 3 days! That's a long time to have no sight. If that happened in church, today they'd have the pastors trying to cast the devil out of them. When the revival broke out in April 89 in upstate New York on a Tuesday morning, the glory of God come in there like a wave of the sea. People just begin to fall out of their seats. No one even touched them. Some were weeping. Some were laughing uncontrollably. Others were shaking. The crowd diminished, not out of the door, but into the floor. And I had to learn to speak above the noise of the crowd, because if you're a speaker, it can unnerve you when you're trying to get your point across and people are carrying on like a crazy thing in the meeting. And the Lord said to me, he said, I'm touching my people, which totally made sense to me. Wouldn't God touch people in a church? The question is, how strong can he touch them? Can he only touch them a little bit, where they get one little tear and just raise a little hand to heaven? Or can he really touch them? Can he really grab a hold of them? Can people come into the meetings and actually have a Saul of Tarsus, Road to Damascus experience? Can God do, can God do these things like he did in Bible days? Can he come? Can he touch people? Can he transform their life? What about Pastor Merrick Houghton from Atlanta, Georgia, who came to the meeting with stage 4 cancer of the colon, came to the meetings in St. Louis, and the fire of God hit him and slammed him in the floor for 4 hours. He's still pastoring. He called me last week from Swaziland. He's preaching there right now. The fire of God went in there and burned the cancer out of his body. Nobody even prayed. No one prayed for cancer to be healed, but the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in. The Holy Ghost. So the Lord said, let me touch my people. Let me do what I do. And he said, if you're ashamed of this, I'll take it away from you. And I'll give it to another. And I said, oh Lord, do whatever. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. And everybody can say that. When you start getting attacked and criticized for joy, The devil's doing this now. You know, the devil's come to bring joy into the church. People are getting that devil joy. No, no. If it was of the devil, it would be at Billy Bob's, not at Pastor Bob's. Billy Bob's is the biggest honky-tonk in the world. It's down the road. If it was of the devil, it would be in Billy Bob's. Billy Bob will have nothing to do with me, because I'll shut his establishment down. Thank God for Pastor Bob. Come on. Hallelujah. The people don't understand the move of the Spirit of God. What would you have done if you were walking there and you saw Saul of Tarsus fall to the ground? Many churches are not a place where God can move, because people are afraid to offend somebody, whoever that is, that was going to give this huge amount, which they never do. They're afraid. I mean, if you go back 100 years and you look how the Pentecostals were persecuted just for speaking in other tongues. My uncle, who was moderator of one of the mainline denominations in Southern Africa, back in the 30s, built one of the top theological seminaries in our country right after the Great Depression. He told me, he said, when he, in the early days of Pentecost, when he was moving around, even preaching, people would pelt him with rotten eggs, rotten tomatoes. They would take a donkey and put turpentine on the donkey's tail and let him in the congregation. So the donkey comes, suddenly the doors open, and down the aisle comes a jackass braying as loudly as he can because he's trying to get away from the turpentine that's burning his behind. And people would laugh outside. They threw rocks on the roof. But yet now you've got Pentecostal churches all over, and it's a dignified thing to speak in tongues in some cases. Because now you've got Pentecostal denominations ordaining people to the gospel ministry, not even baptized in the Holy Ghost anymore. Don't even speak with other tongues. So we can have machines with smoke, but we can't have the glory of God. Because people won't get offended with the smoke, but they will if Sister So-and-so gets on fire and runs around waving their flag again. My God. She pulled a handkerchief out of a bag and run around the place. And if she gets to moving, she'll shake them bobby pins out of her hair, and she'll run around like a crazy woman. You know she will. What would people think? Well, that's Bible. Who threw Saul of Tarsus in the ground? God or the devil? Oh, my Lord. Jesus, help me. Who threw him in the ground? The Spirit of God did. Well, God can do that in the Bible. How come in the Bible that's of God, but today it's not? So tongues in the Bible days was of God, but today it's not. True? That's what people say. Tongues is of the devil. If it was, why aren't they using it in the nightclubs? Why don't you see a movie where they're snorting cocaine? Oh, shamboribatelevrovosapa. If it was of the devil, wouldn't they be using it? Wouldn't you see the mafiosa shooting each other? Shabalande bosho. No, it's because man always tries to bring the move of God down in the realm of reason into his intellect. And you can't. God's going to transcend all of that. I was horrified to find, if you look in your map, in your Bible, that the crossing of the Red Sea, where they've got it, it's in a river called the Reed Sea. That's not where they crossed. the Mount Sinai, where they've got it. They're still in the land of Egypt. They ain't left Egypt, because the Red Sea is right at the south, where you got Eilat in Israel, and the Red Sea runs 6,000 foot deep on either side and comes to about 1,000 foot. And Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, and you can read about it in the book of Galatians. It tells you that it's in Arabia. And if you go there, there's a pillar that Solomon erected on the Egyptian side and on the Saudi Arabian side, the same pillar, plus the 12 pillars, 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel on the other side. And when you dive in the water there, there are chariot wheels, eight-spoke chariot wheels and chariots that are there with coral on them. You can't drown an Egyptian army in a little river. God drowned them in the depths of the sea. And when you get to Mount Sinai in Arabia, it is black. The top of the mountain is black. And when you look down, you can see the altar where the golden calf was. There's even an old painting of a golden calf on the thing. You can even see the rock that was split in two. So I asked the people, why have they not changed it? Said, because of the money controllers that hold the Sinai site. They make money. And so they've got the children of Israel wandering around in Egypt, and they never left Egypt. I went in, I pulled out all my reference books I got nearly 5,000 volumes. I looked at this, I can't believe it, threw the thing down. Look at this, all wrong. Because in their minds, they couldn't see them coming through that sea. They want to rewrite the Word of God. They want to take the power out of the Word of God. Let me tell you, when God parted the sea, you know why he took them through? Because they could have gone straight up into Israel. God could have taken them straight through the land of the Philistines and gone right up. You know why he took them through the sea? So he could drown the enemy. That's the only reason. He took them through the sea for no other reason than to bury Pharaoh and his armies. When I find myself going through deep water, I tell my wife, hold on. God's going to get rid of some things. Hallelujah. When I find myself going through deep water, I tell my wife, hold on. God's about to take care of these people following us here. We can't get rid of them, but God's about to take them out. Hallelujah. Couldn't believe it. Reed Sea. The money changers control the religious sites. That's why when you go to Jerusalem, you've got two places of just about everything. In America, you've got denominational headquarters from Springfield to Cleveland, and the list goes on. And people think God actually lives there. They don't know he left a long time ago. He doesn't live in a place. He lives in the hearts of individuals. That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. He came to live on the inside of him. He came to live big on the inside of him. He transformed his life, and he went to write almost two-thirds of the New Testament. God hit him so hard, he knocked the S off his name and stuck a P there. I was concerned that the Lord was going to change my name from Rodney to Odney. When the Holy Ghost comes, whole counties will be shaken. When the Spirit of God comes, just like in the first awakening in the 1700s, in the second one, whole regions were shaken. In the Welsh revival, people could not get beer mug off of the counter. It was frozen on the counter, and even those that could pick it up could not bend the elbow. In the Welsh Revival, there were two, 1856 and 1904. Shook Wales. Football teams were disbanded. If you go to a Welsh rugby match, you can hear them singing songs with the tunes of hymns, as only the Welsh can do. It came out of revival, because at that time, all the football teams stopped playing. Could you imagine a move of God in America where the NFL is disbanded because nobody is even interested? Oh, that would devastate some people, because that's their God. Can you imagine the move of God so great that the NBA is disbanded because nobody wants to play? Everybody's in love with Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's what happened. People were overcome by the presence of God. An awe of Jesus. Awed. Not just in the service, all the time. Little children would say to everybody, they would tell them that every day is Sunday now. Every day is Sunday. You see, in America, people try to fit God into their schedule instead of getting into God's schedule. People want more of God, but they want it under their conditions. They want the best of both worlds. Do you realize that when you have an encounter with God, you're probably never going to be normal again? Do you realize if people think that you are odd now, that if you have an encounter with God, that you're going to be really, really strange? Do you realize that people are going to make up stories about you? You can't believe what they'll make up about you. If you're not dead to that, it'll affect you. When the Lord said to us, to Africa, 1990, a revival broke out, and within 3 months, we moved around in the Natal province. One young girl was 17 years of age at the time. She came to the meeting and didn't know the story until by the end of the week, but she was totally rebellious, going with the wrong crowd, her clothing, I mean everything, the music. The power of God smacked this girl. She shook. She didn't just shake for a duration of an hour. She shook for days. And then the joy hit her. The mother was a little Methodist woman. She really got nervous. What's happened to my daughter? And so she took the daughter down the road to a Pentecostal church. And two Pentecostal pastors got hold of her and tried to cast the devil out of her. What they didn't know, the devil had already got out of her, and now God had got in her. And so they spent several hours and looked at her and said, look, she's totally possessed. Anyway, she wasn't. God delivered her. She went home, took her clothes, got rid of the clothes that were not acceptable, took all her music, she burned that, went, told all her friends, I can't go with you anymore. It was like night and day. About a year later, we went back to the same city as a follow-up meeting. Places packed. It was just like it was yesterday. You know, here we are a year later. She's now 18 years of age. That whole week, I was teaching along these lines on the touch of God. What happens when God touches people. Now, of course, I saw her. I knew God had touched her a year before, but I didn't know that she came to that meeting hungry. She told her mother, she said, I know God touched me last year, but he's really gonna touch me this year. And I was preaching about signs and wonders and the touch of God, and I was talking about Maria Woodsworth Edda. Some of you know the story where she was preaching in St. Louis, and she raised her hand to illustrate a point, and she froze. It said that she stood for 3 days. They said of 100,000 people come through the place, and on the third day she carried on preaching right where she left off. She didn't even know that 3 days had transpired. She thought it was in the same service. She was caught away. So I was talking about these things. That night, the power of God fell. It was an unusual move of the Spirit of God for me. I'd never seen anything like that. There were two ladies sitting on the front row, but they were not facing each other. They were turned sideways. They couldn't see each other. They both had their hands in the air. And then it looked like they were choreographed. The one hand would go down, the other one would do the exact same thing. It was everybody around was just staring because it was like an unseen hand moved them. And people were just overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. There was a man lying on the floor and looked like he was conducting a whole opera. I don't know where he was, but he was doing this with his hands, and it was, you just watched. It was like they were under the control of the Spirit of God. So we finished the meeting by 11:15 and went back to the back room meeting with all the pastors that were coming in by now, greeting them. And then I ran in. He said, "You better come quickly." I said, "What?" He said, "What you've been preaching about has happened." I said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "There's a woman frozen in the lobby." I said, "What?" They said, "You better come quickly." So I go running. I mean, I never seen a woman frozen. I thought, my God, I would get there. I run right out there, and there's this young girl, the same girl that was touched the year before. She had walked out. Our book table was there, and there was a video, and she was pointing at something, trying to tell her mother something, and she raised her hand like that, and she froze. She looked like a wax dummy. Her eyes were open. She did not even blink. There were about 50 people in the foyer, and people were just standing there, and they were whispering, but there was like a holy awe. Nobody wanted to do anything. And I went around, and I looked at her from every angle. I mean, I'm checking out. It was as though she had froze in that place. No blink of the eye, no, just gone. So a little Methodist mom, she's like freaking out. Last year, shake for a couple of days. Now she's frozen. So the mother grabs her by the arm. Boom! Falls out on the power. Mother gets up like, you know, in a daze. Reaches over, grabs her daughter again. Boom! Under the power. Mother gets up the third time. I said, "Lady." Boom! She hits the deck third time. I said, "Look." I picked her up. I said, "Look, just leave her. Just leave her." I said, "She'll come round eventually and just take her home." About an hour later, there, she's in the car with her hand raised like that. And they were driving out. They said they took her home. They carried her, laid her on the bed. She laid like this. That was a Thursday night. Friday morning, there was about 1,000 people there in the special anointing service. And I was seeing the glory's here. The glory's here. I can sense His mighty presence in the very atmosphere. And I watched the door open, and here comes this young girl. I thought, "Lord, I know what happened to her last night." She walked down the aisle and then started walking across. And it was the most amazing thing, because I'd never seen anything like that before or since. I saw it one other time with the same girl, and I explained to you what happened. But she walked, and it was like she suddenly began to slow right down. I don't know, it's like if you ever see a movie in slow motion. She's walking along like this, and then suddenly just, and she went into another trance. That's what it was. She froze. She stood that way for about 15 minutes. So I told the church, I said, "Look, what we've been talking about has happened. Please don't anybody touch her. Just leave her alone." Anybody looked around, you know, they took one look at her and they bowed their head. People started crying because the awe of God was in the place. About 15 minutes later, she just like suddenly carried on moving, walked right down, and come sit down. As though she just walked in the building and came sat down. She didn't know she walked in and froze for 15 minutes and then came sat down. So that meeting outgrew that place. We had to move into a 2,500-seat building. The Sunday morning, and then we talk about 50 miles away in another place. This Sunday morning, Sunday night, the place is packed. They've got 400 people sitting on the platform. So I turn around, and there she is with her mother. I thought, I'm going to get her to come testify. Little did I know. I called her. I said, Nola, come up here. Come tell the people what happened to you. I tell you, I had the microphone, and I had it by the arm. And I had the mic here. And I promise you, I saw the fire of God hit her in the head. I saw her freeze. I saw her face. I could see it like almost crystallized, go right down her skin. And I knew it was going to hit me. And a thousand things going through my mind. Not here. Not here tonight. Jesus, please. Lord, the joy is one thing, but people freezing in trances. My God. It's racing. It's like 100 miles in my mind. Like that. Because I don't know what to do. What do? They don't tell you in Bible school. What do you do when somebody freezes on the platform? No one tells you. Nobody tells you what to do. It's like 100,000 volts come through me. For whatever reason, I still could function. She froze right there. Now, this is the start of a night service. As it hit her, it was like you took a rock and threw it in a pool, and the wave went out. People in the front row would do this, and all the way through the whole place. And all I could do was, every head bowed, and I gave an altar call, and hundreds of people came from the side of the wall to the front pew, to the front of the platform, to the side. You could not get another person. I think every single sinner and backslider got saved in the house that night. It was like the Lord took a rock and threw it in the pool and splashed everybody. Of course, she ended up getting married in the ministry a few years ago. I was ministering in Tampa, and I told the story, and I see this hand waving. It was her. She had flown over from Africa to come to the meeting. She said, that's me. I got her straight up and had to tell the story. She didn't freeze in, but she said, let me tell you, everybody I prayed for got an encounter with God. Everyone that the Lord used me to pray for got a touch from God. She said, that touch of God kept me. I never backslid. Pastor Ronnie, I never backslid. I stayed on fire, my husband and I in the ministry. And everyone we pray for has a touch from God. There's a lot of things you don't understand. There's a lot of other things that you might not be able to work out with your mind. In that same week of meetings, an Indian pastor, Indian, he fell under the power, and they got like five stairs. He rolled up the flight of stairs and rolled down, rolled up the flight. Have you ever seen anybody roll up a flight of stairs? If you don't believe in signs and wonders, watch somebody roll up a flight of stairs. He rolled up. He rolled down. He rolled up. He rolled down. He rolled up. He rolled down. And then stopped. Somebody said, what did you do? I said, every head bowed, every eye closed. They don't teach you what to do if a guy rolls up a flight of stairs. But that guy's in the ministry. Everybody gets touched differently. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. You in the seventh pew. Five people in. Everybody gets touched differently. But when God touches you, you will never be the same. Ever again. Everything about you is going to be different. And the fruit is going to be manifest in and through your life, in your walk, in your talk, in everything. You won't backslide. You're going to be on fire and then not on fire. And on fire for God, not on fire. You just be on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the internal combustion engine of the Spirit of God, I would have quit a long time ago. You listening to me? You have to put up some stuff we've had to put up with over the years. You just said, I'm out of here. It's the Holy Ghost that sustains you. It's the Holy Ghost. See, people mock what they don't know. Well, look at that crazy person. Well, look. Well, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what God's just told them. You don't know what the Lord's just opened up for them. I went to a meeting, and here's a pastor that's got 46 companies, and he makes $300 million a year. And I said, brother, it's a little unusual as a pastor to have 46 companies and make $300 million a year. I said, where did you even get this? He said, on the floor in one of your meetings. He said, I came to your meeting and was bankrupt. The power of God slammed me in the floor, and the Lord dropped this on the inside of me. I go, Lord. He's got a hotel chain. He's on his own jet charter. I mean, 46 corporations. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's like huge. He's a pastor. He said he got it on the floor. Amazing. Some people got nothing on the floor. But God will speak. He'll give direction. He'll heal you. He'll touch you. See, if we're not careful, we can become blasé about things of God. It's almost like in some circles that have even had the move of God, people will go ahead, really impress me with revival 5.0. You know what I mean? I'm going to go ahead and impress me. Look, I don't know about you. I'm impressed with Jesus all the time. So it doesn't take much to impress me. Just a touch of his presence, I'm gone. I don't need to see much. You got people running around looking for something more. What more than Jesus do you need? You can become blasé about an altar call. You can become blasé about miracles or testimonies. I hear that some people are upset because there's people coming to the church that maybe don't smell that nice. You know, they did that in Tampa to me. You know what I did? I ran them off. I ran those people out. I ran them off. What are they going to do when you get to heaven? You see, I invited all the nice people. We sent invitations. We set the table. They didn't come. So I told my church, I'm going to the highways and hedges. I'm bringing the lost and dying in now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not even giving them an invite. We're compelling them to come in. You know what compel is? Get in the house. I was preaching a meeting, and right in the middle of my sermon, a couple got up and left. I said, you, stop where you are. Come back here and sit down. I'm not finished. And they looked at me, and they turned around and come sit down. I said, good. I'll tell you when the service is over. And they gave the altar call. They were the first ones up in the altar call. Hallelujah. Compel. 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 I didn't mean to. I've never done that before or since. I just go, no! I guess I'd seen the pity on them. And I knew that Jesus had the answer for them. And they were going, you can't leave now. You can't leave now. I used to end meetings early and then I found the people in the restaurants. I thought, hang that. Because I don't eat in restaurants after services now anymore. The Lord delivered me from that. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing open at midnight. Grease and a side of grease. Just one touch. That's what I'm believing God for you this week. Just one touch from a suddenly of God. You know, people have said to me, well, Saul of Tarsus wasn't hungry. You know, they said, how come he gets touched, he was hungry? I said, in actual fact, he probably was of the most hunger and desperate. There's no breathing out threatenings. He probably said, God, if you real, you know, I'm taking these people out. If you, you know, it's those kind of people that are going to have a head-on collision with God. It's the ones that are nonchalant. How hungry are you for more of God? I'm not talking about a manifestation. The Lord can do whatever he does. But I promise you, your life's going to be different. And the fruit will be made manifest in your life in the days to come. I can't get hungry for you. You have to get hungry for yourself. I can't get thirsty for you. You have to get thirsty for yourself. Because if the Lord could come and touch me in Africa, then he knows exactly where you live. Because that's where he touched me. I cried out. And he touched me. God is no respecter of persons. But he hears the cry of the hungry heart. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Come here, sister. Lift your hands. Fire. This lady right here. Lift your hands. Fire. That's it. Jesus. Woo. Touch her. Step right over here. Step right back here. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Jesus! This brother right here. Come here, brother. Brother. Come here. Quickly. Power of God's on you right now. Just step over here. Just take him back in the clearing. Take him back in the clearing, Evan. Just get him back right through there. Take him back. Take him back. Lift your hands. Fire! Jesus. This brother right here. You, sir. Just step him right back in that aisle there. Just step him right back in that aisle. Step him right back in that aisle. Lift your hands. Fire! Fire! That's it, going right through you right now. It's breaking. Break it. Fire. Fire. That's it. That's it. Breaking. Break it. Bye. Oh, Andres. Come here. Quickly. Lift your hands. Fire. Jesus. Come here. Quickly. Right over here. Lift your hands. Fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, what's God doing there? None of your business. None of mine either. Come here, lady, quickly. Right over here. Fire! Jesus. Woo! Touch him, Lord. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Come here, both of you. Right here. Hallelujah. Fire! fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come here quickly. You. Yes. Right here. Fire. Jesus. Put it on him right now. Sambo rombongandele brista. Paranendo robocante. Bring him here. Come here quickly. Right here in the aisle. Lift your hands. Fire. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, brother. Right over here. Fire. Put it on him, Lord. Touch him. Touch him, Jesus. You see, in the move of God, it's all about yielding to the Spirit of God. If you can't yield in receiving, you sure can't yield in giving out. The same thing that stops you from receiving will be the same thing that stops you from giving out. Come here. Right over here. Lift your hands. Fire! Fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Bring him here. Quickly. Right over here. Lift your hands. Jesus. Woo! Poraninga ba elebrusto. Come here. You. Thank you, Jesus. Right over here. Hallelujah. Fire! Come here, brother. Why not? Fire! Why not? If not, why not? If not, why not? Hallelujah. Fire! Woo! Baba mamba libro voto le conindre rinanirando bribambro botondo libro sopai. Jesus! Jesus! Poramange soboro nenoraba. Come here, brother, right here. Strengthen, Lord! Strengthen him right now. Listen. Never met a person by the name of Why Not. I tell you, I mean, I know that he's been here for years. He comes in and out, but why not? I'm going down to Calvary Cathedral. Why not? I'm going to go preach. Why not? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, brother. Step right over here. Fire! The fire of the Holy Ghost. Come here, brother. Fire! Woo! Glory to God. Come here, sister. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Touch her. That's it. That's it. From the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. Hallelujah. 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 You know, some people say, well, I want God to touch me, but I want to act weird. Listen, if people just took a picture of you and put it on the screen. No, seriously. It's not about acting anything. It's about letting the Lord touch you. Letting God come and do a work on the inside of you. Why not? The Lord can give you direction for the next 5 years. Some of you look like you need some. Come here, both of you, quickly. Lift your hands. Fire! Jesus.
Rick Gentry here. I just want to thank you for listening today, taking time out of your busy day to listen to BPN Radio. And today you've been listening to Dr. Rodney Hyatt Brown from Tampa, Florida. For more information about Preaching Sunday, you can contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com. or visit us at bpnradio.com. Good day.